Blog Talk Radio.
PLM, baby.
Become a reality, and you know, I just wish you lots of love and thug fashion. And I clown around when I hang around with the underground girls who used to frown. Sing them down when I come around, gas me. And when they pass me, they used to lay back. But now they watch me on Yo MTV Raps Today with Ed Lover and Dr. J. Dr. J.
Just smoke me in, just a dime.
Teddy.
Yo.
I ran into that young lady Maria last night.
What?
Must have been her husband's payday. So she brought me to see a brand new diamond link that she see me with on. You know what I'm saying? You know why?
Why, King?
If I could... Hey, yo, Teddy.
Yo.
I ran into that young lady Maria last night.
What?
Must have been her husband's payday. So she brought me to see a brand new diamond link that she see me with on. You know what I'm saying? Know why?
Why, King?
If I get the job done,
I work. I work.
If I get the job done,
I work. I work.
If I get the job done,
I work.
If I get the job done,
I work.
If I get the job done, 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 if I get the job done,
I work.
If I get the job done,
I work. I work. I work, baby, I work. I work, I work, I work, baby.
The question at hand is how do I love thee? I'll count the ways, but girls don't shove me. One by one, you can come and correct me. Undress and molest me, but you can't protect me. Because I love a young lady that's beautiful, but one that's smart for me is more suitable. In other words, to make it simple and plain, you gotta have a brain in order to be this chain. But in the case of not becoming my lady, I think I'm 8 to 80, dumb, crippled, and crazy. Crisp and clean with no caffeine in a pair of a spandex or even tight jeans. Preferably the ones with the Chinese cuts, but I'll take them with the weave hanging down to their butt. And if you step up in a large sum, like Martin Luther King, I should overcome. I get the job done.
I work.
I get the job done.
I work. Baby.
I get the job done.
I work.
I get the job done.
I work. Baby.
Some of your ladies make moves too quick and settle down without having a large pick. Rush into becoming some poopa's wife, and no longer do you enjoy the married life. Well, I'll let you know this is a brand new year, so never fear, the big daddy is here to do things in places your husband wouldn't, and do certain things he probably just couldn't. Let me sneak into your life like a thief in the night, lick your body all over and squeeze you real tight. Nibble all over your hand, give your back a massage. You'll say, ooh, I like it just like the barge. Smooth and mild, I'll make you smile, honey child, and hit the lights and get buck wild. And when I turn them back on, you'll have to say like cow gone, please take me away. So when your main course is doing nothing for you, just look at me as a tasty side order. They came into your life and brought a thrill, cause any husband who won't, I'm a neighbor who will. Get the
I'll
job
work.
Done.
I work.
I get the job done.
I work, baby.
I get the job done.
I work.
I get the job done.
I work.
Take it to the bridge. And lovely, and if the thing in black is beautiful, it's true, not phony. I'm browner than Bobby, so won't you be my tenderoni? And get a whip for this nymphomaniac, and up to date Mac that's ready to attack. And prove that I'm a pro and far from a rookie. Ain't no hair on my chest, but I'm one tough cookie. Whoever said you had to be 100% masculine in order to be in? I'd rather be more subtle and smooth and soothe. Girl, you won't disapprove, and I promise that you'll never forgive me. Now what's the title to fit me? A champ like Tyson, a captain like Kurt, no, employee of the month, cause yo, I do work. The K-A-N-E is on the J-O-B, an expert, cause I get a D-O-N-E. So lights, camera, action, all hail the one that gets the job done.
I used to let the mic smoke, now I slam it when I'm done to make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up, press up, press up. I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke, now I slam it when I'm done to make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene. I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke, now I slam it when I'm done to make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene. I said, I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, come murdered in a hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame, I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named. Another enemy, not even a friend of me, cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete when you compare my rhyme with yours. I wake you up and as I stare in your face, you seem stunned. Remember me, the one you got your idea from. But soon you start to suffer, the tune'll get rougher when you start to stutter. That's when you had enough of fighting, it'll make you choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should've broke because I ain't no joke. 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 You're expressing the rhyme that I'm styling. This is what we all sit down to write. You can't make it, so you take it home, break it and bite. Use pieces and bits of all my hip-hop hits. Get the style down, packed, then it's time to switch. Put my tape on pause and add some more to yours. Then you figured you're ready for the neighborhood chores. The E-M-C-E-E, don't even try to be. When you come up to speak, don't even lie to me. You like to exaggerate, dream and imagine it. Then change the rhyme around, that could aggravate me. So when you see me come up free, or you'll be one of those seven MCs. They think that I'm a new jack, but only if they knew that. They who think wrong, or they who can't do that style that I'm doing, they might ruin. How does a paragraph make them ruin? You're all BDJ, if anything he play sound familiar, I'll wait to East Ace play him. So I'ma have to diss who broke, you can get a smack for this. I ain't no joke, no joke.
And with another great sound from DJ Waheed, we are up and running. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening to you from coast to coast and around the world. We're back. We are here. And this is Spontaneous Radio Online as we bring you Spontaneous's annual celebrity birthday celebration for 2023. So happy to be with you. I am LeVar. You know, I always have to say, whenever I get a chance to hear the opening music for DJ Waheed, I don't know if I need to, it's like you feel like you're in that time zone and you remember when that music came out. I don't know whether if I need to go and get like all Adidas wear tonight, or if I need to go and get my mustard yellow suit with the yellow gaiters to match, or if I feel like Theo Huxton, boy, I need a Gordon Cartrell shirt and go and dance on Dance Mania. I don't know how I feel, but it makes me feel like one of those things. And if you know what I'm talking about with the Gordon Cartrell shirt, bonus points for you. But we are here. Yes. I'm so happy to be with you in order to do this show. Because this is still the age of Aquarius, even though in some technical aspects, they say we're out of it, but it's always Aquarius season. We know that. You have to be an Aquarius. And I think, I know I check off that box. And I know that my PLM brother over here, who is with me as well, DJ FX, I know you check off that box as well, right?
Oh, of course, man. It's like, see, here's the thing, because I'm going to go back to the Gordon Cartrell you was thinking about, because there's a slight thing that we must not miss. It's not the Gordon Cartrell that Theo bought in the store where, you know, you already know. It was the shirt that Denise made, his sister made for him, on, right? You remember that, right? So, so that's why I was like, no, you can't get the one he got in the store. You got to get the one that Denise made for him, where he said it was tucked into his socks. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he, you know, that shirt was made like what? So that's the shirt you need. And of course, one of his girls that came by to pick him up, you know, when he was about to go out and do some dancing, it's like, oh yeah, it's fresh, it's hot. It's like, that's what we're gonna go with. So yeah. That's the shirt. So yeah, man. So like you said, when it comes to Wahi, my brother, when it comes to the mixes, man, it's like, see, I feel more like I need to put on my Adidas. That's how I feel, be it the old or the new. So I'm gonna make sure to put on my Adidas where there's no laces. So that way I can truly, you know, go in with the flavor, because I will mention there was one year for Halloween where I decided to definitely dress up as Tupac, right? As Tupac.
Oh.
And definitely from you know, our brother from Run DMC. So we wanted to make sure that that I came in, you know, the way I was supposed to. So yeah, when it comes to hip hop, it's like, that's one thing that is definitely that culture that that we definitely come to enjoy, and it keeps evolving every year, 50 years of hip hop. And I know everybody has stories, and we're definitely going to talk about those stories as we get into the show. But, of course, I must mention why we are here. And I know a lot of you know why we are here, right? We know this, right? We are here to celebrate the birthday of our beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous, right, on this Aquarius season. We are here to celebrate, and we're going to enjoy. All right, this is how you need to know. We're going to enjoy and have so much fun when it comes to celebration, because we always bring in our fun, we always bring in the energy, and we're always going to do it right. So here we go. This is how we're going to celebrate. So, of course, she was managed by Tupac. She is also a three-time Hall of Fame inductee, sold over 352 million of movies, and still selling today. She has also received 9 awards of her accomplishments in the entertainment industry, including a Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, our beautiful boss became the valedictorian of her class of 2020 from Full Sail University, and she will become Dr. Spontaneous of Business Administration and Strategic Marketing in the next few years from now, including a second book that will be released about her life with her manager, Tupac Shakur, authored by Kevin Powell. Spontaneous Radio Online, the one-stop shop for all of our PLM shows and events. So please stay updated for all upcoming shows and interviews. All right. Now, before we get into introducing our guests, I must ask you, since we are talking about hip-hop, what was your first instance of hip-hop? Where did you and hip-hop, or when did you and hip-hop first meet?
So here's the thing. Being here in Chicago, I kind of ran into the great buzzsaw of hip-hop and also house music because, of course, Chicago being home music.
Right.
But hip-hop for me was like those, you know, I remember watching, like everyone did in the 70s or 80s, you know, Soul Train. And then when we first got cable, we got BET, MTV. That was my first foray. And actually, you know, I always say it's full circle because I remember watching Yo MTV Raps and seeing, you know, the different artists that were on there, and Salt and Pepper and Queen Latifah and Naughty by Nature. And, you know, that was my first big foray into it. And I don't know if it wouldn't have been for that platform if I really would have understood, you know, in rap too, if I really would have understood the message of hip hop, and you know, growing up, my brother used to play, you know, all the records, and you know, there were some that mom didn't want me to hear. That was my first foray into that, and I've loved it ever since. It was a joy for me to see the hip hop anniversary that they did on the Grammys recently. It brought back a lot of memories, maybe a little old. explained that to my nephews and nieces. They don't get it. They have their own music today, which I understand. But hip hop in itself, you know, we always say without different genres of music, there wouldn't be the other types of music. And thank God for hip-hop, because it taught more people to probably be hip and mm-hmm. to
yeah.
express himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Well, let's see. So I'm definitely going to tell you some stories about some songs that I know I shouldn't have heard at the time. But I definitely will give you my first instance. And I can honestly recall, of course, me being still in elementary school. And I must say, Rob Bass's and Easy Rock's It Takes Two.
Yes.
That was mm-hmm. my first introduction into hip hop. It was how, to me, was how the video was presented. So it was something that I've never seen before. So like, okay, so like he was talking about like, you know, the house and everything. So for me, I'm coming from an era where I'm like listening to pop. I'm listening to Friday Night Videos. That's what I'm watching. So I'm looking at Michael Jackson. I'm looking at the Thompson yeah. Twins. I'm looking at Madonna. I'm watching, oh my God, Duran Duran. Thank you, my older yep. brother, for introducing me to them. Culture Club. So, yeah, so if anybody's yep. talking about, like, gender fluidity, it ain't new. If you ever go back to the 80s, and even really before that. Yeah.
David Bowie.
So, yeah, culture. yes, yep, David Bowie. And, of course, what's my group I'm thinking about? And it just came to me, and I just forgot their group. I'm so sorry. But the song I actually just heard recently, what was the name of the song? You Make Me Go Round. It was You Make Me Go Right okay. Round, Baby, Right Round, that song. I forgot yeah. the group because I just listened to them the other day. But that was like what I was listening to then. But then when I first got introduced into hip-hop, I'm hearing those same songs remixed, right? And they're coming up with their own version of the song, which was totally, totally dope. So, again, with Rob Bass's Easy Rock, It Takes Two, their colors of the video, the energy that was in the video, I mean, the dances, the clothing, the camaraderie when you have people, you know, that were together, all they were doing was having a great time. You know, that's one thing that we have to really get back to is just having a great time at a party. When we go to a house party, you know, like you go to the DJ, it'd be like, oh, the DJ's rocking it. You know, this is what they were doing, dealing with vinyl. We ain't talking about Serato. And tell you the truth, I can kind of give you like what my first interest was, Serato was. And I'll take you back to Karen Wheeler's Soul to Soul, Back to Life, that song. So yep. if you remember that video, now again, this is just my take on it, but if you go back to that video and when my man is like playing on the keyboard and you see a computer in front of him, that was my first thought of Serato. That was my first thought of Serato right there. So when I go back, I was like, there it is, right? But again, the true essence of hip-hop, you're going to like dealing with the vinyl and just the culture. And again, I'm hearing other songs remixed. I'm hearing some whispers in there. And oh, believe it or not, if you're a Mobb Deep fan, one of the songs that should make sense to you, yes. Right. So one of the songs that I'm pretty sure a lot of you have probably heard but don't even know it. And I want a lot of you to look this up. This is Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me with Science.
Yes.
And if you listen to that track, you know the track I'm talking about that Mobb Deep has, and I do have that song on vinyl. So yeah. So I'm coming from exactly. So I'm gonna give you a small joke
there.
And I'm Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So, you're speaking of the vinyl, like it was. Right. So, I remember I was running into a cat, and we were doing like a DJ showcase, and mm-hmm. myself and Wahi was coming in with bags of vinyl, like cases of vinyl, right? So everybody else is doing Serato, you know, they got CDJs, turntables, you know, their laptops and everything, right? So we're coming in with vinyl, straight vinyl, no Serato, like all the cue points. We had to take like stick notes or like little tabs, like colored tabs.
Yeah.
If a true DJ will know exactly what I'm talking about, where it's like, here's your cue point. This is where that part is, you know. So, yeah. So we bringing in vinyl, right? So one of the guys look and he, you know, he's a CDJ, right? He's a CDJ. So. He sees the box and the cases, and we walk in. And he's like, so you're bringing in vinyls? So I was like, you mean vinyl? Yeah, we're bringing in vinyl, not vinyls, vinyl. So Waheed and I both looked at each other like, okay. So, yeah, right. And needless to say, out of everybody, all the DJs we was in, we stole the show, man. We stole this just simply because we came in with, I like to call the pure sugarcane form of hip-hop is when you bring in vinyl. That's the pure sugarcane for us. So, yeah. So, and then going back to the songs about what I shouldn't have been listening to, all I'm going to say is all those that are within the DMV area, and I'm thinking it was nationwide, but all those in the DMV area, if you remember the jukebox, especially late night, and if you dial in that three-digit, It was okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And you remember when you had to dial in that three-digit number? You remember that? Yeah.
I remember that.
See, See, now, of course, I wasn't old enough to do it. Now, I wasn't old enough to do it, right? But I always waited for certain videos to pop up. So I would be in front of the TV for hours waiting for certain videos to pop up. So, yeah. I would always get mad. It was always close to the video's number, but it'd be like one off. So if I'm looking for like 608 and it'd be like 607, I'm like, oh no, I'm like, come on, man, come on. So
somebody kept calling in for Luke's pop that you know what, and it would play like five times in a row before I think the box finally was like, no, somebody else get in on that. And for a while, that was the number one song on the box. And it was a great, also it was another great way to see videos, especially hip hop at that time when it was really in its heyday of your favorite videos when you couldn't get it on MTV or BET right away. But you could also dial it in and watch it there. And it, like the underground stuff or the stuff that you know you couldn't see during the day sometimes. So
yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, you already know when it came to BET After Dark, you know, what like the real raunchy stuff, that was the stuff where it was like, it was still hip hop. It was still good hip hop, but this was like straight up, like blurred everything, strip club style. Like that's all they played. Cause I swear every time I saw a video on BET After Dark, it was always in a strip club. It was always at somebody's strip club. It never failed. It was always that. It was like, all right, here come, you know, a video about to pop up. I was like, all right, that song is dope. Here come another one. It was almost like it was the same strip club. I'm like, wait a minute, is everybody filming in the same place? It's just different artists? Is that what we doing? Like,
I think everything except Tip Drill was probably filmed there.
Right.
That's always on there. So, yes. I talk to people about that. But, yes, a lot of the hip-hop songs or the ones that you couldn't really watch were on those shows or on the other music channels because at that time VH1 didn't really show hip-hop. It was more R&B driven and pop. And MTV, like I said, with Yo MTV Raps, which was a huge push for hip-hop because people listened to it. But Yo MTV Raps gave it a platform. And what it did was that it brought it into the homes. If you thought having Michael Jackson, the early 80s, his videos being shown, or Lionel Richie, if you thought that bought parts of the R&B movement, the part of the hip-hop movement for suburban kids, for city kids, for kids out in the country who all listen to hip hop, it was Yo MTV Raps, which is why it's such an important, you know, along with, you know, with what they did on BET. But that was where everybody went. That was where you saw them. And yeah, so that was huge for me during that heyday. So no, but I feel old now because this year you have Missy Elliott and A Tribe Called Quest up for nomination for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you think back to all the other great hip-hop artists and acts who are coming up here soon. next year, Wayne, 50 Cent, Ludacris. And a year after that, in 2025, you're looking at Fife Dog and Nelly. And
yes,
it's hard to believe, you know, hip-hop is 50, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these artists now have been 44 half of that time.
Right.
So it is, it makes you think about where we've come from with hip-hop, where the future of that is going.
Yeah.
But good for music. And I'm glad that it has evolved, you know, especially, like I said, I think the rise of cable helped a lot of things evolve in regards to what people saw in their homes. You know, instead of somebody sneaking a record in and no one understanding it, they were able to see the artist, to hear their stories, and now, you know, you saw the music and you got everybody dancing to it, from the little two-year-old who's just starting to, you know, get up on his legs, to a 99-year-old at their birthday party, which is a wonderful thing to see, because it spans all ages. Yes. Oh, man. But we'll talk about that a lot tonight in regards to music, as well as the world we live in. There are a lot of things going on that, you know, in the midst of all of this, we're glad that you're with us. We hope that everyone is well. And, you know, I am looking forward to a time in which, you know, the only major stories that we will see is that of good news. And I always tell everybody to pass the good news and to continue doing good works. And, you know, we have been blessed to have a lot of people on this show who have done good things that we hope that you follow along with our guest tonight. And it is without saying that if you can, do. And, you know, there's something out there no matter what life throws at you in regards to situations, and it's just turning it and making it good. And it's kind of like music, too. Music, that's the one thing I know that makes people come together. I don't really think it, there's some songs that kind of divide, but overall, music always, you could plop a huge, I was going to say record player to show my age, I'm not that, but you could plop a
phonograph of those that are older. So.
Yes, or a boombox. You can plop one down, play some old school hits, and everyone will know what it is.
It's
the world together. So, yeah. But I think we grew up in that same era where we knew the box, the ET. You know, to me, it is very hard to put together what I would call a Mount Rushmore of hip hop. That's extremely hard. But the one thing that I've said that I'm so happy about is that I think the one person who keeps it alive, and if those of you are listening, Questlove, of the Roots, he has been a huge, huge proponent of knowing your music history. And I love watching his posts, because it is always something new that I never learned before. He is definitely someone that I admire. So special thanks to him. Like I said, the Rock Hall is getting there. But, yeah, a lot of different news stories going on. We always look forward to these birthday shows. We get a chance to talk with a lot of people and get their take on the world. It's always eye-opening. It is always it's more fun for us to do these shows. I almost feel guilty because it's us when we're talking. What happens is that people are on the outside looking in. But have a conversation with all of our guests who have done these shows. I get a kick out of it. I always learn something new. My eyes are always open to their take on the world and what's going on. And, you know, you're thankful for that, because in a world in which a lot of people are closed-minded and don't really listen,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen to that.
You learned.
Wow.
Yeah. But no, that is it's a blessing, and I can't thank Spot enough for being able to do this on this platform. You know, we are always thankful, but I know that you have something here that you want to talk about, my friend. I'll shut up, as they always say in the radio business.
Well, what I'm about to do is I'm going to go ahead, because I'm pretty sure everybody wants us to be like, all right, shut up, bring on a guest. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We hear you. We hear you. So this is what I'm about to do. I'm going to introduce to you, because this is the brother that needs no introduction. You know who I'm talking about. One half of the dynamic duo from Yo MTV Raps. He was in 1993 film Who's the Man? He's the original concept, and he considers himself super bad, a blind amputee, and a type 2 diabetic. We have the pleasure of bringing him back again, and we're going to keep bringing him back again and again and again, because this brother, I'm telling you, has a wealth of knowledge. I can really sit down and I can really write a book on everything he's talking to me about. Like I'm pretty sure everything's gonna say you're gonna feel like you're there. You know what I'm saying? So again, without further ado, we got the brother himself, Dr. Dre. What is going on, my brother?
Brothers, excuse my tardiness, excuse me being late, but I'm just here on this show because you two are great. Now, how could you sit and talk and whine and waste your time? But I won't do that, because I think I got a new rhyme.
I know, right?
But as we continue to giggle, laugh, and smile, let's get this show kicking for Spawn. Happy birthday, Style. Yeah, everybody. Bring it out.
Yeah, see, that's why you're here. That's why you're here, man. Because again, like we were saying, it's like, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Again, with the fun that we have, and there's no doubt about it, the fun that we have, the knowledge, and just the views that you bring here is just unbelievable. Where it's like, you know what? I'm like, you know, everybody just shut up. Just everybody shut up. I need my brother to tell us something, because it's something we need to know. We laugh and joke. Yeah. It's like, I feel like I need to be out on the stoop somewhere, just sitting down, just listening, drinking a Sprite on a hot summer day. Like, I just need to hear something. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
right
that's
now,
why we happy to have you.
Right now, I'm going through my confidential documents, top secret documents, because, you know, I figured if Biden got some, Prince got some. We know Trump got a whole lot. I figured I'd go to my house and see what kind of documents I got stashed. And, you know, because one day the DOJ, Department of Justice, may come looking for some documents I got stashed.
Right.
But anyway, how's everyone, and how are we doing today on Spawn's extremely exciting birthday party each and every year? I love doing this show. I love doing it.
We love having you.
Of course. I mean, we are excellent. I can honestly say in my area, and I will speak for my area, we got some spring-like temperatures. So anytime I get spring-like temperatures and sun, and I just came from the skating rink, so I'm hearing De La Soul's, Saturday. I'm just hearing that as I'm skating. So I'm good, man. I feel like going skating again. So that's how I'm feeling.
Well,
yeah, I'm good. I'm
let's
geeked
celebrate
out.
True Glory the Dove and
yes.
An extraordinary life with that amazing group, De La Soul. You know why?
Yes. Yes.
Because if it wasn't up to his potholes in his lawn,
yeah,
he would never got to the meet myself and I.
Mm.
So, Unfortunately, De La made an album way back called De La Soul Is Dead. And I said to True Boy at that time, are you sure you want to say that? And he said, well, based on, you know, the way things are, Drake. I think we were doing Yom T raps at the time.
Yes.
They felt a certain way about the music and what they thought should be popular versus what shouldn't be. But you're talking about a group that can align with the likes of Moni Love, Queen Latifah, Tribe Called Quest, and any other backpack group at that time to create the incredible music they did. That's why I said, let's celebrate his life. Because the one thing about death, even Ari Houdini hasn't come back yet to tell us what's on the other side. But I say this, our blessings to have been with him for these many years, his family, his friends, and his enemies. His music will live on forever.
Without question. Without question. And, of course, I must say that Spawn says she loves you, too. I just want to make sure that you know that she loves you, that she loves having you on, as always. So definitely want to share that with you, bro.
We've been having a universal love affair for so many years. In my mind, as that being my big sis, I will actually go out of my way to just continue my love affair with my sis and all the beautiful things she brings, not only this show, but to the world. That's an amazing woman. She's an amazing, brilliant, bright, extraordinary woman. I was finishing up a documentary with some friends of mine from way back talking about this building that the group Public Enemy spawned from, groups like Leaders of the New School, Kings of Pressure, Young Black Teenagers, True Mathematics, you know, and the list goes on, and even Public Enemy. So I was doing an interview for their documentary here, and we were just going over some of the stuff. And when people say, tell us how what happened, I go, are you kidding? Do you have a few weeks? I consider the blessing that we went through, having gone to Delphi University and worked at a radio station called WBAU, 90.3 FM. And it all started when I went to my black music history class with the late, great Dr. Andre Strawbert, our professor. One member, Harold McGregor, also known as Harry Allen, I got to ask him. William Bill Stephanie, Mr. Bill, also vice president and president of Def Jam Recordings, and my other buddy, Carlton Ridenour, a.k.a. Chucky D, a.k.a. Chuck D, Public Enemy, all met in this classroom. Mm. They took me to lunch. We threw our quarters on the table. In college, you don't want to do that. That means you're trying to, you know, share a meal.
Yep. Yep.
And they brought me upstairs and introduced me to WBAU and radio. And that friendship hasn't buckled since 1983. Hasn't buckled. Where I met groups like De La Soul, Stetsasonic, Supernature, a.k.a. Salt and Pepper, LL Cool J, Run DMC and the late, great Jam Master J, Africa Bambaataa, KRS-One and the late, great Scott LaRock, known as One Beyond Productions, the Beastie Boys, Cool DJ Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, Fred Bugs. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I can't leave out the one and only, the hype man of hype men, MC DJ Flavor, a.k.a. Flavor Flav.
Wow.
Big up to Spectrum City, Hank Shockley, Keith Shockley, Butch Cassidy. Big up to the concept, the original concept, T-Money, EDG Rockwell, Rapper G, Steffi C. Hine, late great Thaddeus Robinson. And like I told you, I've always been a part of collabos and alliances because that's how we make things better. That's why I like being here. So I always have loved the Spawn, always. From the moment I met her So our conversation last week and our conversation we'll have tomorrow, I love y'all like family. Matter of fact, you are my family.
And you're definitely part of our family. So we definitely appreciate that. Truly.
Yes, sir.
Truly.
So now
you
we
know, and
bread,
when one
the butter's soft, let's lay it out and let's get it on.
Right. You know, one thing I must say, and I've always wanted to say this to you, is I'm still awestruck. I'm still awestruck to this day, and I just turned 45, a couple of weeks ago, and I can honestly say, right?
Thank you.
I'm still in disbelief that I am sharing time, and I'm speaking to truly one of the pioneers when it comes to the culture that we have in hip-hop. To be part of the platform that has really shown and really displayed to the world a true phenomenon, to be a part of that and to know that you were there from ground up, just you were there on the first floor, you were there. And to see those groups come through, you know, and to say, you know what, and I can say I'm talking to one of the originals from Yo MTV Raps, man, and they were there. You got to see Tupac. You got to see Queen Latifah, man. You got to work with De La Soul, LL Cool J, man, MC Light. I mean, just those, I mean, man, this, right now, I feel like I'm back in elementary school, man. I feel like I'm back in elementary school, junior high school. And I remember, and all I can remember is eating pizza and playing Pac-Man. And I'm just yes.
Pizza, Pac-Man, and the TV, too. What kind of mess is that? To be honest with you, Queen Latifah, along with Mark the 45 King, the author and creator of the 900 number, open for Original Concept on the Don't Get Your Good Clothes Dirty tour in Europe that we went on. And that's what she was doing to strengthen my madness. Yes. The wrath of my madness, not the strength. The wrath of my madness, she opened for us. And amazing woman. Look at what she's done. I've been blessed just to touch great people. What can I say? Met Moni Love in England back then. I mean, Paris One and Boogie Down Productions opened for us on that tour. There's a lot of, I mean, the beauty of, you say I started from the ground up. I have to reflect based on this quote-unquote 50 years of hip-hop, which I say it can't be 50 years of hip-hop, because that would make me 9 years old when hip-hop started. And that, well, no.
Right.
Now, I understand that they're using cool, who heard DJing in the projects for his sister's birthday party as the date and the beginning of it? Okay. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, it was really a lot of Jamaican sound clashers who were DJing with 45s with these huge sound systems in Brooklyn, Queens, and then Nassau County and Long Island who really inspired the DJ thing a little bit. But I can't leave out like Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, Treacherous Three, Spoonie G, Woody Wood, DJ Hollywood, and from up in Harlem all the way out to Hempstead, Long Island. Yeah, we all participated in it. So we have sketchy dates on what we consider the beginning of hip-hop. But right. I'm going to officially say to me, the number would be between 1977 and 1978. Because you can't start hip-hop in that fashion without respecting the Fatback Band and the first record of them all.
Yes.
You can't.
Yes.
King Tim III, Personality Jock, was technically the first rap record that was played. Then as that evolution happened, now Woody Wood And there were some independents out there, like you may have heard in the Grammys, when they did Flash to the Beat with Melly Mel out there. Yes, that was a B-side of a Grandmaster Flash song on the independent label. But what really kicked it off and made us all go hip, hop, hibbity, pop, you don't stop. Thank you, Grandmaster Cash and the Gold Rush Brothers, but it was Rapper's Delight with the Sugar Hill Gang. That made this phenomenon become what it is. But you can't eliminate Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force with Planet Rock.
Oh, wow.
Because when Planet Rock dropped, we all went crazy. Whether you were in the Roxy or you were in Newcastle Park, rock, rock, the Planet Rock. Don't stop. The thing I find now is a lot of people try to cookie cut the history of rap music and hip-hop. And I use rap music because that's what we called it in its infancy. We called it rap music. Hip-hop was the culture. Rap was the music. Breakdancing was what it did. Graffiti was the art form. And, you know, there were tenets to this thing. And we all kind of respected it from one step to the next. So when you get to calling out a gate, building museums, and talking about, oh, well, you know, my hip-hop's better than your hip-hop, my hip-hop's better than yours, I tell everybody, whoa, everybody, slow down a little bit. Just a little bit. Because there was MC Shy-D down in Atlanta. You had the Two Live Crew in Miami. I mean, you had groups all over the place. But rap music at the time was taking on R&B in the great music battle ever. In the, that's why I got to 77. Disco was still big because Saturday Night Fever was a huge movie. I tried to dance like John Travolta. It may have been corny, whatever we want to say, but Danny Terrio, they did a hell of a job there. I mean, if you talk about Disco Inferno, the Tramps were getting it on in that movie. But the emergence of a song by a group called Chic in their third offering of their album, Zeke, was called Good Times.
Yes.
And when Good Times hit the scene, the world would never be the same. It's the most sample record in rap music history. Next to James Brown. Because you can't have Rapper's Delight without Good Times. You can't have Bounce, Start, Bounce, Walk, Skate, Roll without Good Times. And you got to understand one thing. Chic, Bernard Edwards, and Nile Rodgers were making beats and bass lines for groups like the Rolling Stones with their hit Mission. I mean, this is, Chic was a huge group from their first album to one, two, all three times. This is huge. And then they dropped this thing called Good Times.
Yeah.
And it was such a crazy record that we would play the record backwards and upside down in the park. Where did you do that? That's a DJ trick. We'll tell you about later. But the thing is, where I'm at with the hip hop thing, celebrate everybody. You got to. Because DJs like the Infinity Machine, the Disco Twins, King Charles, Spectrum City, The Concept, Music Mind, and all these groups all over different areas of New York, and even when you go to the West Coast. The one thing I'm trying to do in this 50th year of hip hop is to stop calling your place you live in your group name. Oh, West Coast hip hop.
Yeah.
Oh, Dirty South. Oh.
Yeah.
New York hip hop. We know your story. Why are we arguing like that?
Yeah.
So as you applauding Questlove, I need to get everybody on this banner to stop with the naming of your town to claim hip hop. Hip-hop is a worldwide phenomenon. We all knew it starts Hip-hop started in the Bronx. We all knew that. We all respect that. But other people evolved with it. Even in rock and roll, it was the great Chuck Berry who coined the phrase rock and roll and R&B. It was Little Richard who played the piano like nobody else has ever seen. Because Jerry Lee Lewis copied his style. And even Elvis shook his hips the way he saw others do in black churches to become the king of rock and roll. Until, of course, the king of pop showed everybody what was the real deal. And Michael Jackson and his incredible brothers, the Jackson Five and the Jacksons, made history like none other. Spring, the Earth, Wind, and Fire's in the world, the Commodores. I mean, I can go all through the list. When I speak of hip-hop, and I got in a huge argument one time with somebody, I said, Michael Jackson is hip-hop. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Because we use his records in hip-hop. When you play Dance Machine, and you play the breakbeat,
that's
what we do. When you play Rock With You, don't play Michael Jackson. I'm stealing with Jackson 5.
Let's go back to playing
the great Bruce Markey, who used to always play I Want You Back. Or ABC. No, but when you put it on two turntables and a microphone, that becomes rap music and hip-hop. James Brown started singing, I Can Dig Rapping. That was on the great Payback. So when we do 73 anniversary of hip-hop, I'll go with you on that a little bit. But I know for a fact, you got to go into the late 70s. That's where it really, for me, it started.
Right.
Maybe because I couldn't get a token to ride the subway at 9 years old and venture up to Cool Herc's sister's birthday party. My mom was in the Bronx. But the first DJ I ever heard in the Bronx was Afrika Bambaataa. Because he lived in my
Rock, the planet rock. Don't stop.
But I heard a Cool Herc. I did hear a Cool Herc and Herky Lawrence. But I say, let's stop separating everybody. Let's bring everybody together.
Now that's what I'm talking about. And you, would you mind if I play like a quick track? I definitely want to play a quick track for you. Definitely want to play one of the artists that definitely stepped through. And I know Spawn will definitely love this track because I'm not going to say who it is, but y'all going to love it. But I definitely must get this in because, again, it is a party. So I definitely got to play this one right here. So here we go.
Oh, yeah. I get around. Still clown with the underground when we come around. Oh, yeah. I get around. Still clown with the underground when we come around. Stronger than ever. Back to get wrecked. All respect to those who break their necks to keep their hopes in check. Cause though they sweat a brother majorly. And I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. To tell me that she needs me. Cries when she leaves me. And every time she sees me, she squeeze me. Lady, take it easy. Hate to sound sleazy, but tease me. I don't want it if it's that easy. Hey yo, bust it. Baby, got a problem saying bye-bye. Just another hazard of a fly guy. Your ass why don't matter. My pockets got fatter. Now everybody's looking for the ladder. And ain't no need in being greedy. If you wanna see me, try to keep a number, baby, when you need me. And I'll be there in a jiffy. Don't be picky, just be happy with this quickie. And when you learn, you can't time it down, baby, dog. Check it out. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Check it out. I get around.
Hope y'all didn't mind playing that really quickly. So definitely wanted to throw that in there. After all, it is a party. So I hope everybody enjoyed that Tupac's I Get Around. So, yeah. So, again, part of that Yo MTV Raps landscape. Had to throw it in there.
Let me ask you a question.
Hopefully y'all enjoyed that.
Let me tell you a question. Back when Humpty Hump was doing his thing in Humpty's Dance, back before Tupac released the first single, would you have ever picked Tupac out that group to become the person he is? Seriously.
I wouldn't have.
And he
not at the time.
No one. I don't think anyone would. And that's what I mean by stopping, limiting ourselves by saying, oh, well, this was this. Oh, this is this. You couldn't have done that.
Right.
None of us could have picked Tupac to become who we did.
Yeah.
Who we became.
Yeah.
No one could have done it. But he had the energy, the drive, and he had the confidence in himself to say,
yes,
let's do this.
Yes. Yes.
Let's do it. Would you have picked him to become a movie star after he did the Digital Underground, the movie they did with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase?
I never would have guessed it. Never would have guessed it.
In the movie. You would have never thought he did Gridlock and the movie with Janet Jackson and company. No. But that's the beauty of what hip-hop always was about and rap music. We could make our own way.
That's
what makes me excited about being involved in the music and the culture. And, you know, people say, oh, Dre, you know, you do this, you've done that. I said that was a part of the agreement I made when I first got involved in the music. Is no matter what I would get, I'd always try to get. And made sure I gave as much as I thought I could get. So, who got the next question?
All right, LeVar. What you got, LeVar? No, it's on you. I feel like I've been taking over. I feel like
I you actually brought up something good out of that, because when you talked about Tupac going on to act, I was like, a lot of hip-hop stars went on to act. I mean, you think about Queen Latifah, who is currently on his show. And, you know, we see other hip-hop artists acting as well. So they had that second act also within it, which is actually awesome. I kind of want to one more thing with music, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations came out. And this year, among some acts, Missy Elliott, Tribe Called Quest are nominated for the Rock Hall. Who in your mind, not get yourself in any trouble, because there are a lot of great hip-hop acts, but who in your mind deserves to probably go into the Rock Hall for what you see? And who were a great act not nominated this year is the greatest, I guess, snub not to be in the Rock Hall?
I think Willie G should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think Kumo D and the Treacherous should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think Curtis Blow should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How do we keep skipping over these artists? Here's one more that's really going to throw you for a loop. The Fat Boy should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
Yes. How do we skip them like they didn't exist?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do a little short, quick list. UTFO, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
Roxanne, just a phenomenon. Was beyond just a phenomenon. That was an international hit. Whether it be Roxanne, or even I mentioned Amalia. After the Rambot in the Soul Sonic Force. Why isn't he and his group in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Seriously?
Yeah.
Think about it. I'm not making up something that doesn't make sense. We're talking about for real. The artists of the time. And that made this music what it was. I mean, you can give any excuse you want. So, oh, well, they didn't do this or this. There wasn't this. That's a lie. That's a lie. It just wasn't recognized the way it's recognized today.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect the fact they put Dolly Parton in there. I respect
no, they, that's right. They sure did.
But how do you
they
skip?
Sure did.
How do you skip those groups I just mentioned? How?
By the way, Sheik was nominated 11 times and not in yet.
How do you skip Sheik? When Sheik wrote Miss You.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Because Mick Jagger loved one, two, all Freak Out.
Yep.
Dr. Dre, Ed Lover, Fat Bob, Freddie, and T-Money should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though someone you mentioned earlier blocked our vote. Oh, did I say that loud? Yeah, I did.
No.
So now running around being the hip-hop documentarian and the sole force behind this, that, and the other. Dude, as I said to somebody earlier, if I didn't play your videos, you would be irrelevant.
Because
it wasn't like you were on the radio doing what you did.
Right.
But recently I've been called a sellout because I was on your MTV Raps. I said, excuse me? Yeah, you know,
really?
He was working for the white man. I said, really? But didn't that same white man put your video on? How do you just say stuff like that? See, we get caught in what I call, you know, my version of the truth. So before you found your way to NBC, you was on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Yours truly.
Yep.
Yours truly. And Ed Lover. And Fat Bob Freddy. And T-Money. So, again, the list is long and strong. The excuse of, oh, well, this is the music of this, the music of that. Dick Clark is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He never rocked a record. He never played a record. And so like, oh, what about Don Cornelius? What about him? Why are you there? Don't make excuses to me. Make excuses to yourself.
Well, you know what? All of those listening to that, I don't know what the power of
people go,
people have.
These guys.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know what the power of the people, but yes, you're right. And I was telling FX before this show, Yo MTV Raps was the show in the cable age, the dawn of the cable age, was the show that introduced a lot of hip-hop that we weren't seeing on Friday night videos. We weren't seeing it, you know, constantly on MTV until Yo MTV Raps.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, you guys should be in the Rock and Roll. So,
of course.
Those,
so people can make
right
those
to Rock
excuses
and Roll
they want. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But people will make all the excuses they want to feel they're going to make their situation better. I'm not making excuses.
Right.
And I'm not just, you know, saying why we're not in it or should be in it or anything else like that. It's like, I understand why you're doing Missy Elliott, no disrespect, but if you're going to do Missy Elliott, what about Angie Stone, who wrote Apache
Ooh-wee.
With her group
called
the Sugar Hill Gang? How do you skip
her
and her group?
Yeah.
How do you skip the Funky Four plus one more? With Sha Rock. How do you skip over Missy Elliott's pick up with the no, you're picking and choosing. You're not relating it to true history.
Yeah.
And those were huge hit records. Funky Four Plus One More was the first rap group on Saturday Night Live.
What?
Oops,
you're
I'm
right.
Sorry, am I dropping gems? Am I dropping gems?
See, Did I not mention the knowledge? Did I not mention the knowledge? See, keep going.
And here's the other little fun part about that. When you go to certain series, isn't Megan Thee Stallion using Apache?
Yes.
How many people have used Angie Stone and her group's lyrics and music?
Yeah.
It's not my fault that the Robertsons didn't pay people for the music and the contributions they actually made. That's not my fault, but you can't erase their contribution.
Right.
Even if you don't want to go, okay. But as an artist, Angie Stone is huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
See, it's like when you start playing games and you go to one person and they win an Oscar and an Emmy and whatever else you want to give them, and you say, oh, well, he knows the truth. Wasn't there anybody before him?
Yeah.
And I'm not, look, I got number of love for that man. I played all his videos. I played the records on the radio when y'all people was to play the records on the radio. So let's not fool each other. We like to play fool you games. I don't fool myself.
Right.
I don't fool myself.
Mm.
And anyone that wants to challenge my record, it's pretty public.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty public. So, yeah, that to me, those are issues. That can be quickly solved.
Yeah.
It don't take that long. MC Shan should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did he sell millions and millions of records like LL? No, but he did sell records. He did do
MC Shan.
He was a force of nature. We tend to dismiss folks real quickly and forget these people's contributions. Even if it started a rap record war, it still was a contribution.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me Tribe would get in before DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince? Oh, because this guy was going to play and smack somebody? Well, if that does happen, he should smack somebody. Because he's got it not only as DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, but Will Smith has sold more records than five of them people you just mentioned.
Right.
Will Smith,
right.
One of the only rap artists to go to his name and still keep rapping and keep selling records. If we use the sales part of it.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me, Tribe came out before Fresh Prince. No, he didn't. Parents just don't understand. It's one of the biggest records of all time in rap music.
Yes.
It's the first rap Grammy.
Yeah.
How are we picking this? How did Eminem go before Jazzy Jeff in the First Prince? Make that make sense to me.
Oh, you just take a hat. And you just put the names in, and then you just shake it up, and then you just pluck the name without watching. That's probably what's going on.
And then y'all make stuff up. So that's where my issues lie. Maybe I got to go get my documents. I got to make sure the DOJ gets my documents back. I'm sorry.
But I will ask you, while you're grabbing your documents, and I want you to as you're grabbing those, like one of those documents will show when you first met Spawn. So that's the document that a lot of the fans would love to know is how did you come to know our beautiful PLM boss, Miss Spontaneous? How did that meeting start?
Because I was a huge fan of adult film and admired it from the perspective of critiquing, so I can keep it in my special document section that the DOJ wants to see now. It was a top secret. That's how we met.
Wow.
That is an illustrious career, an amazing woman, gifted, powerful, knew what she wanted. And as we spoke, I saw more than just what was dressed and undressed. I heard things between ears. That's why I get in trouble all the time. Because unfortunately, I go, I was there and I saw this. No, I was there and I saw that. So it's like when people go, Schoolie D was the original gangster of rap. No, he wasn't. There's a gentleman named Just Dice. We did a song called Gangster of Rap.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? See, that's what I'm saying. We got to stop making stuff up. Like, how do you dismiss Curtis Mantronics and Fresh is the Word? It was a huge song. Mantronics did that. How do you dismiss EPMD? How do you jump, leapfrog over EPMD and go to Missy Elliott? Because she's one of your faves? What didn't EPMD do to not go to Rock and Roll Fame? So let's even bring it back a little further. Eric B. and Rakim?
Mm-hmm.
What? Mm-hmm. I do think Eric B's president came out before Missy Elliott. I think they all got paid in full long before. And I loved Missy Elliott when she was in the group system. See, I got history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I have history.
Yeah.
And this is before the internet, people. Before I could click a button and yell into it. This is before that.
Right, right. Oh,
so
man.
When you have knowledge
and
you have understanding, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, Dre, everybody can't make it. Okay, I guess you're right. I guess you're right,
yep.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Oh, man. But I did want to ask you real quick, like, you know, of course, dealing with our celebration with Miss Spahn. Folks would love to know,
mm-hmm.
How many years have you known Spahn? Like, how many years?
I can't say that because she won't let me tell her age. That's not fair. That's not fair. I have to tell mine. In the 50th year of hip-hop, if I believe that's the 50th year, and I would be 9 years old when hip-hop came out, or when the terms, that means I was 9 or 10 years old because I was born in 1963, and I'm facing my 60th blessing this year. But I can't say that.
Mm.
I've known her almost as long as, wow, from doing Yo? Yeah. I got time. He's on my side.
I'm born
with
you.
About 5 years.
Right.
But like I said, I can't tell you that because then I'd be telling her age and I don't want her mad at me. I want her to be happy with
uh-oh.
Me. That's why it's your birthday. Now, here's a question for y'all. Because we're in what I call the shortest, most hateful month of the year, Black History Month. Let me, here's one for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the song, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, what's that song about?
It was about Dr. King.
Yeah.
Who?
Well,
who'd you say?
Martin Luther King.
Dr. King.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
do
Dr.
you
King,
know,
yeah.
they did a recent survey, national survey, on many different platforms, Black platforms especially, and they said it was the Black Happy Birthday song.
Oh, man.
I said, what?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the Black Happy Birthday
yeah.
song. It's like Black
yeah.
people saying on their birthdays. I said, did you ever listen to the lyrics with this thank you, Martin Luther King? Nope.
Yeah.
They only sing the chorus.
Yeah.
The Black Happy Birthday song.
That song is fun because that's like, I don't think people really knew the reason for the song and listen to the lyrics.
Right.
The man went to jail.
The main part of it?
He went
yeah.
to jail
yeah.
fighting yeah. for the man's birthday to be a national holiday. It's on the album Hotter Than July.
Mm-hmm.
And you say he wrote the song for Black Happy Birthday? I would think that would be
50
Cent and up in the club.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Wow.
Is that funny?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. That's wow. It does.
That's the truth.
Like, really?
That's the truth.
The Black, wow. The Black Happy Birthday
song. Black Happy Birthday song.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah,
I hope people listen to it. I know on those top secret papers you probably have the actual number of years.
I'm telling you, I'm getting all the documents together here. I got the phone
yeah.
call the other day, and they said, Dre, we learned that you have certain documents that we need back. I said, well, which one is it? You have the happy birthday document. No, I don't.
Well, you know how they know. There are things in the sky that actually will tell them that you have it. So,
yep,
yeah.
They've been following me around to let me know that I have the happy birthday document.
Yeah, happy birthday document.
I won't even bring up any
top news stories, but what's on your mind lately about things that have been going on in the news?
Oh, top news story. Well, most interesting top news story is that white people are telling black people, you can't teach black history because it affects our children.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that too. I was like, that's got to be one of the silliest things I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, that's one of the top silliest things I've ever heard in my life. No matter what we do, no matter how hard people fight, but just simple equality, simple basic truth, you can't tell your story because it affects the way my children feel. But yet,
right?
Yet, here's what I found real interesting. Everybody went to see Wakanda Forever. Wakanda Forever! Right? But no one went to see Till. How'd that happen?
Right. Right.
How do you miss the history of what happened to a young African-American boy at his tender age, brutalized beyond compare, taken out of the prime of his life, and if it wasn't for his mother's thought and how to deal in media to open that casket and let us all see what they did to her son.
Yeah.
No one was like, hey, we gotta support Till.
Yeah.
Not an Oscar nomination, not an Emmy nomination, not a Tony, not a Grammy, nothing. And I'm giving all support to Angela Bassett to get her props for her Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
She did a phenomenal job. Yeah, but I gotta use my mind and say, what? But wait, what? Something's not right here. How do we ignore Till, but we don't celebrate what happened? I don't know. Somebody's about to tell me how that works out. I don't know.
I would probably ask you why do you think that was and why it kind of went in between the cracks. But it seems, you know, movies like that have, you know, powerful message, great acting, and yet they don't get the recognition. Because there's a lot of other great movies that we can talk about that have powerful performances and a powerful message, and it falls between the cracks only because it wasn't what I call a fantasy history. Wakanda, you know, people can go and not walk out of it feeling, you know, a certain way because that's really fantasy. It's a reality.
Right.
It seems that people kind of shy away from that. You kind of feel that that's the case with movies such as Till?
I can't explain it. That's the whole point. I cannot explain it because I don't know why. And the thing is, this is 2023. People scream and holler for certain things. They get angry, and we must be respected. But in the next breath, this happens. And no one seems to be upset. People treat it like, well, you know, I didn't see it because, and you can fill in any blank you want.
Yeah.
But at the end of the long day, we're still in the same place, doing the same thing, asking why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And only the Backstreet Boys seem to answer that. You know, I want it that way.
Yeah.
It seems to be the only one.
I want it that.
But even in that song, they say, tell me why. Ain't tell me why. No one seems to understand. Why does Hawaii? I don't know why.
We'll all be going on tour next year.
I used to know why, but I don't know why now.
Yeah.
That's what
now
we
I do
mean.
Want to ask you.
I used to know why.
Now do what? Yeah. Hopefully we all can learn why at some point. But who knows? In 2024, we'll probably still be asking the same question. But I do want to ask you this, though, because I believe you have something to pretty much announce to us.
And all I'm gonna ask you is, does Paraworld or Paraworld sound familiar to you?
Oh, it does. Continue.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I mean, continue.
Yep.
What was the question?
Yeah, Paraworld.
Are you asking
Paraworld? Yes. Yeah, Paraworld, because I remember in a conversation that we once had, and this sounds like this is something big. And if possible,
yeah.
I would like for you to tell our film fans about Paraworld, if you don't mind.
Well, let me keep it simple. Paraworld is what's called the first disability special needs streaming network. In other words, it's going to get better accessibility to people with special needs, people with disabilities, blind, deaf, people with autism, is going to power. Why? Because some people say they got it, and it's not functioning as well as they think it should, or the way they perceive it is, because it's just not. So the ABA, American Basketball Association, and Abigail Networks came to me and asked me, would I be able to help put one of these streaming networks together for them? And I did. I got a few friends of mine together who are involved with people with disabilities and special needs, and we started hammering at it. And we're doing it as you speak, because it's not so easy when you do something like this, because you're changing the way things are. You're going, well, we think this should go this way because people need to be able to see, feel, hear it, and participate in it.
Yes.
So our goal is to be inclusive, not just exclusive, and make sure that people get an opportunity to see and hear the same things you do. For example, when we were watching the Grammys last weekend, and they did the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, and people ran out there. Some people I knew, some people I didn't, because they don't say what's going on the screen. They just hope that you're following us. What's happening? And it doesn't work that way.
Right. Right.
So when they give awards away and stuff's going on the stage, we can't follow that. We got to guess what Paraworld, W-H-I-R-L, streaming network's going to do. We're going to eliminate that. We're going to give people the opportunity to participate in their entertainment the same way they want to participate in the entertainment. Well, you do.
Right, right.
We want to make sure that not only can you see, hear, and participate, you can go, wow, this is something more than I ever expected. So it's a process. it's a big thing we're looking to do, and it's taking its time, but it's coming together. It really is. It's coming together. And I'm very proud and blessed and thankful to the ABA and the folks that gave us the opportunity to be a part of it and to do this. So that's what Paraworld is. Now, the website is called paraaccessworld.org.
Okay.
That's W-O-R-L-D.org. And right now we're building that too, because a lot of websites you go on or platforms, you don't have the access that you should be getting.
Right.
For example, if you get on certain platforms that say, oh, you can just do this and click here, and it'll work just fine. And then I'm sitting there going, it's not working. That's not what's happening. So we decided to combine efforts with my other website that I've developed, Dr. Mm-hmm. Ray's Victory Foundation, mm-hmm. which deals in what you're saying, being a blind amputee and a type 2 diabetic, and being able to go out and start working with people with health and wellness. We'll bring everything together first, and then we're going to launch so we can get other people to come along and say, wait a minute, you guys, you're doing this for real? And we want to go, yeah, we're doing it for real. This isn't a joke. It's for real. And we want people to, like, by next year and the next time we do this, I want to be able to put what we're doing here on screen so people can see Spawn's beautifulness, my brother's over there, and anybody else is on the show, they can visualize it, and people with disabilities and special needs will have greater accessibility to participate in the show. That's the goal. Mexico.
Fantastic model. You don't think a lot about that, but it is something that is truly needed.
That's why I do it.
You would think in 2023 that would be available, and it's not. I think it's awesome. So
there is a federal accessibility law for people with disabilities and special needs that's supposed to be compliant to folks on the internet and stuff like that. But people use excuses. They say, "Oh, I did that. Oh, we're compliant." And I go, "No, it's not." And I'm talking about major companies that we've had discussions with and that we've worked with who realized, we really aren't as compliant as we thought. And they're actually working with my company to go out and build that next wave of what's necessary. It's not just about the audio description. It's about accessibility for people with special needs and disabilities. It's different. It's not. People go, "Oh, it's like listening to a football game and the color commentary." No, it's not. It's much different. If you have a streaming network and you want to understand a little bit about audio description, you go to any movie on certain streaming networks and if it says audio description, turn it on and watch it. I mean, watch Wakanda Forever. I did with audio description. Different experience for me and for the community of blind folks, deaf folks, people with autism and special lighting infractions that bother them. People don't recognize that because it's not you. So you're like, "Oh, I don't need to care about that." But others do, and that's what our goal is to let people see, care, and become a part of what this is.
Well, I hope that everyone who is listening tonight gets a chance to go on the website and follow along and support it. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
I know I would be remiss to repeat that. It's www.paraaccessworld.org. So definitely go and support.
And Dr. Dre's victoryfoundation.org. It will probably be up. You'll get a coming soon thing, but you can engage and put your name down. So we'll invite you when everything's up, because the biggest thing we're going to be doing is reaching out to such a large audience of folks. And it's not just, only blind people can do this. No, everybody can be a part. That's the whole engagement, is that we want everyone to engage equally. So no one feels left out. No one feels like, "Oh man, I can't really be around this." No, you can. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is everyone can participate. And we got some programming coming that's going to make your head spin. We got some fun stuff that we're thinking about to do. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely can't wait to see it. I know we have a few more minutes here tonight. I guess I want to ask you, because I always like to come back around to these things until we talk again, but 2024, so far it's been a very busy, almost 2 months. What is your, prediction of how things will go here for 2023? Sorry, I'm already going a year ahead. See if I can talk that.
You've already jumped right in ahead. Look at you.
I'm always light years ahead. That's where I go. I even got myself. But where do you see, especially after these first 2 months, the rest of the year going, and what's your hopes for the rest of this year?
We as a global community, a national committee, a local community, we have to stop the gun violence somehow. And I'm going to say something that's probably going to piss some people off, but that's what I normally do. I don't mind pissing people off until they tell me a better solution. And the biggest part of that solution is going to be we have to snitch. People want to snitch on people. Because now you have 18-year-olds. You had a 6-year-old in Virginia, shot a teacher. You had a 4-year-old walking around with a gun in the lobby of his apartment building with his father, and he was in denial. And it's like, okay, when do we stop the denial phase? Who else needs to die? When do we say, you know what, this has gone on long enough. It has to stop now. Now we have to stop. We pushed the envelope as far as we could push it. Time to go. The next part is folks need to pay more attention to what's going on locally and vote, and state elections and national elections. Because right now we have a congressman in the United States Congress who we don't know who the hell he is. Who the fuck is George Santos? He lied about every piece of it.
Yeah.
Look, if I could lie and say my grandmother died in 9/11, they'd have hung me from a tree. And this man is still in Congress.
Yeah.
And even his constituency, he's got to go. He's got to
go. Yeah, this is the classic case of if fabrication was a person, that's what it looked like.
So when we see these type of things going on right now in 2023, going into the national election for president, Donald Trump is walking around free.
Yeah.
And everything we know, he said he has the votes, which is a federal crime as a president. I mean, when do we stop playing this game like we can just deny? No, we're not going to tell. We're never going to tell. And everything we do is telling. Everything we do is telling. And it's sad. And I say this with all earnest and love to my parents, grandparents, and ancestors before us. Y'all did not expect this crap that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As much as I love the King family, who else are you bringing along?
Yeah.
You can't do this by yourself without Sharpton. I love Al,
right.
But Al, it's time for you. Who's the next 20 people that you should be bringing up between women of color, men of color? I love your National Archer Network, but dude, I'm tired of you being the eulogizing king. Every time somebody dies, call Al Sharpton. He'll do the eulogy. When are we going to stop that? And the only way to stop that is the community has to tell on who we know has these weapons. I do not believe people are running around and these young kids are shooting each other and you don't know who they are. Recently in Coney Island, Brooklyn, they killed a 14-year-old over a group argument in Jersey. This 14-year-old was bullied, put on the internet, and celebrated, young lady. And I'm not going on color here. I'm going on us as human beings.
Yeah.
Because nobody born gets younger, you get older.
Right.
As you get older, and if you can't see that we have a serious issue going on right now, I don't know what else to say. So we're all going to hide behind our doors, and the only way we can talk is over a Zoom or over a phone? When can we get together and bring the love? And I get criticized. Dre, you always with that love thing. Love, love, love. You always say that. That ain't the way it works. Love, love, love. Why are you so with this love thing? I said, because love is the most powerful, powerful emotion, feeling, and desire on the planet Earth.
And the world.
And my master planner and my creator always preaches to me to love. Even when I make a mistake, I got to... I'm sorry, man. I loved you. It was my fault. I did that wrong. My bad. I'm so sorry. I apologize. If you can't forgive, you can't exist. I'm not talking about like that young man who shot those people in Buffalo. You saw the reaction that got. Because people are tired of going, we keep bending over trying to work with you, and all you keep doing is bring violence. There's no other community in the nation that does what we do to ourselves. You can go into Chicago, you can go into New York City, New York suburbs, Atlanta, Miami. I can go any major community of color, and gun violence is
right.
Like just ordinary. When
right.
do we stop that ordinary conversation?
Right.
When does that stop? When do we say, this is over, can't do this no more? We're killing ourselves. And believe me, those folks in Congress sit back and smile. They steal. See, they're talking about stealing votes.
Yeah,
but they steal the money from the people.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
talk about getting rid of
yeah.
Social Security and Medicare, not just the your seniors, but you get up, there's a whole bunch of the people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
you're under this assumption
yeah.
you built this country on your back. No, you didn't. That was Kunta Kinte Company.
Right.
You wasn't
yeah.
out there in the field picking
yeah.
one piece of cotton, nor were you tilling anything, nor were you out there moving things around or lifting that bale. No, that didn't work that way. So why would we tell the truth? Why would we go after expressing ourselves? Is there such an opposition from our own? I'm not even talking about the opposition. I'm talking about some of us who sit there and go, well, you need to stop being lazy. You need to get off your feet and do it yourself. HBCU, ski-wee, or whatever fraternity or sorority you think you belong to. Whatever side slave encampment that you still are agreeing to. Why can't you agree to get together? That's my problem. You can't agree
yeah.
that we need to agree to get together?
It's an issue. Yeah, it's a problem,
that's a real,
and that's definitely
real
yeah.
problem. Babies are getting
yeah.
shot. Babies know nothing about gun violence. Can you shoot them? Mm-hmm. People are celebrating at a game for a win, and people are getting shot. Parents are running on the field. I mean, to me, I think, is there too much money in sports? Is there too much money in politics? Is it just too much money that's not working with the people?
Right.
And how do we get that to work? I don't have a total answer, but I know the ones that are out there right now aren't working. Handing out turkeys at Thanksgiving, it ain't working. People are dying in projects, in fires that people can't explain. And the new crazy thing is, oh, climate change, it doesn't exist. Till your water runs out. So you have to go to Mississippi and Jackson, the capital of Mississippi, and deny the rights of those who exist there by saying you can't elect your own representative? But yet
yeah.
get off to
yeah.
steal money and build a volleyball court for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
See how that's
yeah. yeah.
And it keeps spinning around and spinning. And I keep going, what the hell is going on? What's going on is we have to come together and bring love to one another and change
right.
the way we think it works. So as people migrate from all parts of the Americas to get here, instead of becoming isolationists or only speaking to those who speak your language, it's time for y'all to break that. It's time to stop
yeah.
that. It's time for you taking the money from here and sending it home so you can continue the war over there with the same money. You're not building anything. So in Uvalde, Texas, you can wipe out little babies and nothing still has gotten done. Nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I kind of think
yeah.
that that's the best way to end it here tonight. And as the Beatles once said, all you need is love, and hopefully that is
true. There you go. Say it again.
Yep.
Say it again. Say it out loud.
All you need is love. That's the starting point.
That's
so,
why,
yeah.
what you just
said.
Dr. Dre,
I know
what. See what you just said?
Yeah.
That's why
yep.
one
you
love.
Love.
One
love.
Love
is all you need.
You're lucky just to have just one love. That's why Houdini needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Get together and feel all right. Yeah, I've been singing all day, so I'm sorry.
One thing I
but
know
you, you understand what I'm saying? Let's bring the true
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
True love.
Got to.
So I have nothing against Missy. So anybody go, oh, Dre was talking bad about Missy Elliott. No, it wasn't. I think Missy Elliott should be in there, just like Dolly Parton. But doesn't Houdini deserve that? Because when you sing Friends, how many of us have them?
Many of us have them. Friends. The ones we can depend on. Yeah.
Or when you're Halloween and every TV commercial is playing, Freaks Come Out at Night. Freaks Come Out at Night. Which you don't even know that Houdini.
Well,
isn't that sad?
What did I use that one? But I was going to say, one friend that we definitely love and that we love talking to all the time is Dr. Dre. And it is an honor, and I always say that I learned so much from talking with you. I can't thank you enough for stopping by and talking with us again tonight. I look forward to this all the time, and I can't wait.
We have to do it again. We have to do it again, that's all. We have to do it again.
We'll be done again.
Happy birthday.
Oh, there's no question.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, big sis. We love you. And I'm not singing the Black Kirk happy birthday song. I'm going to sing Up in the Club. It's your birthday. Go spawning. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. I'm not singing the Black happy birthday song no more. I'm not doing it. I'm passing that to 50 with Up in the Club. They're going to call the happy birthday song the Black happy birthday song. Are we kidding each other?
Oh, man. Oh.
That is one and only Dr.
So Dre. Brothers, we'll talk.
Yes.
Brian and I will talk. We're going to do this because I got nothing but love for you, family. Nothing but love for
always.
You.
Always.
Thank
always.
For watching.
That will continue. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Dre, and thank you, everyone, for listening. And to close this out tonight, I will give it back to my good friend FX. Good night to you, dear sir. Happy birthday, Spot.
Yes. So, I will definitely end it on this one, and it does go back to the song that I mentioned about De La Soul. Again, when I was at the skating rink earlier today, all I could think about was De La Soul. Saturday. And, of course, everybody can definitely definitely look up that sample. So, Saturday. In the Park. That's all I'm going to say about that because I'm going to go into the next
by
song
Chicago.
That we're going to end with. There you go, by Chicago. So that's why we have the people that we have. That way they know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, so this song that we are about to play was a single taken from 3 Feet High and Rising, the debut album by the New York hip-hop group De La Soul. The long player was one of the most innovative records of the late 1980s. Its merging of traditional hip-hop with new humorous lyrics, abundant samples, and jazz elements went on to inspire numerous artists. It was helmed by hip-hop producer and DJ Prince Paul, who at the time was keyboard player with Stetsasonic, and the album was released on the Tommy Boy label. This was De La Soul's only number one single on the U.S. R&B charts. It also topped the Billboard Dance chart. And, of course, we are dedicating the song to one-third of De La Soul's trio, and that is David Charlecourt, a.k.a. True Goy, the Dove, of course, of De La Soul, who died a week ago today, Sunday, February the 12th. He was 54. And with that, we're going to play from 1989. Again, from the debut album, 3 Feet High and Rising, De La Soul's Me, Myself, and I. And with that, we say we love you. Please continue to love each other. And like my brother has said, we need is some love. So, of course, on behalf of Dr. Dre, as well as my co-host and brethren from PLM, Mr. LeVar, here we go. With De La Soul's Me, Myself, and I. Please be safe out there, y'all. We out. Peace.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my De La clothes or is it just my De La soul? What I do ain't make believe. And try, but when it comes to being De La, it's just me, myself, and I.
myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Now you see my plug one style and my plug one sex and cult. You say plug one and two are hippies, no, we're not, that's pure plug four. Always pushing that we formed an image, there's no need to lie. When it comes to being plug one, it's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Proud, I'm proud of what I am. Poems I speak, the plug too tight. Please, oh please, let plug two be himself, not what you read, alright. Right is wrong when hype is written on the soul, they lie that. Style is surely our own thing, not the false disguise of showbiz. They lie soul is from the soul, and this fact I can't deny. Strictly from the Dan called Stucky, and from me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. One and two, but that glory's been denied by considering gooky eyes. People think they diss my person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-tip and he states
black is black.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, shovel chestnuts in my path. You keep on up to snow so I don't get an aftermath. But if I do, I'll calmly punch them in the 4th day of July. Cause they try to mess with further D, that's me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.
Don't forget, our next show is March 19th with Philly's own Supreme the Resurrector. All right, y'all. We out. Peace.